I believe life is one big spiritual creative experience, and everything that we do, whether it's start a business, write a book, fall in love, or I don't know, pull a bunch of tarot cards, has a little spiritual lesson wrapped up inside of it. I'm obsessed with trying to understand the mysteries of the world, from the arcane to the mundane, and unboxing as many spiritual lessons as I can. And on the 12th house, we're going to explore all of that. So let's get into it together. KP, hello and welcome to the 12th house. This is your debut.
You can't see it right now, but I'm doing a little song and dance with a top hat on and a little cane. A nice number.
Round of applause for that little Mr. Peanuts.
Yeah, exactly.
KP, you've been a member of the Holisticism team now for, oh my gosh, almost a year. We're coming up on your year mark.
Our anniversary.
Oh my God, I can't believe it. And you're the brains, the brawn, the genius behind a lot of the words of Holisticism and a lot of the newsletter and a lot of spaces.
We've made a good team. We've been doing a lot of writing. It's great.
A lot of writing and also a lot of just scheming, I would say, in general.
Absolutely. Plotting.
Yeah. Miscellaneous scheming and plotting. Well, I'm excited to have you on the podcast and for the world to know you. And I feel like I should be like, tell us a little bit about yourself. But what do you think is most important for the Holisticism crew who have been DMing with you because you are our social media genius? Like, what's the most important thing for them to know about you?
That is a million-dollar question that I probably should have a quick answer to. If I had to say most important, I'm like, I'm a Pisces.
One of the most important things, actually.
Yeah. Actually, it's a core to my identity. Yeah, no, maybe I was a fan first, and that's how I found Holisticism. So
wow,
that's a marble in your bucket.
Yeah, that means a lot to me. And I can't believe you said that over like the guardian of Bocce.
Yeah. Oh, well, my son. That's more of my, I plug into the collective unconscious when I guard after my Italian greyhound that is so little and so stupid.
He's got a small head, so he's a little bit of a small brain, but that's okay.
I love his pea brain. He's so beautiful, like a horse.
He is really majestic for how tiny and like dainty he is.
Yes. Oh, like the way he crosses his paws. He looks like an aristocrat.
Truly a proper young man.
Exactly. I'm not a class traitor, though. He's not actually an aristocrat.
Well, is Bocce in the room with us or?
No, he had to be locked out of the room because he will have something to say. And I don't think that people want to hear him.
I've never heard Bocce speak.
That is bonkers because he has stuff to say. He likes to yawn in your face. And then he only really barks at the mailman, but he'll still bark.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, fair. Everyone in my household now cries or barks at the mailman or the garbage man.
And that is correct.
Honestly, common denominator, men. So, yeah. And you blame them.
Really makes you think.
We were kind of like going back and forth about this episode. And I told you originally it was going to be one thing. And then I did my research and actually wrote the episode. And I was like, okay, it actually has to be about something different. So KP, what do you know about action bias?
Probably as much of like a 10th grader taking psychology knows.
Did you take psychology in 10th grade? Because I was like on AP bio. I did not take psychology at any point until I went to college.
I took AP psych at some point in my high school career. You know, it wasn't real. You just found out about Phineas Gage, the guy with the pole in his head. And that was like, that was the most anchoring thing that I learned.
And the big takeaway from that is brains are important.
Yes. Traumatic brain injury. I also found out only recently that he, after that happened, he would carry that stick around like a cane.
Yeah.
Which like, is so metal, but also so scary.
Yeah. Was he like aggressive with it? Or is he just like, hey, have you guys seen this? It was in my brain at one point. Like, hey, don't fuck with me.
He was desperate for attention. He wanted anybody to ask, like, what's that giant stick?
Literally always chasing clout. That guy, he would do anything to get some attention. Action bias, I mean, with our context clues, any idea what it could be?
I assume that you like, sir, I might be getting this mixed up with a different bias, but
there are so many.
We all have biases.
The biases are endless, truly.
They don't stop. I assume it's the thing where like you only to kind of take in information that confirms your bias.
Oh, okay. That's pretty close. That is confirmation bias, which is another great bias to have in our back pocket.
Yeah.
Just like basically we always find evidence for what we choose to believe. So if we're like, the vegan diet is the best diet, we'll only look at the people who have said veganism is amazing and we'll ignore everyone else who's like, I actually had a vitamin B deficiency and it made me really sick and my hair fell out. You'll be like, that's a you problem. Veganism is amazing. And it could be, you know. We do confirmation bias all the time here at Holisticism, where I'm like, yeah, ghosts are totally real. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't want to hear anything else.
So it is a great bias, but action bias, I think you'll also really enjoy. And I fall prey to this one all the time. So action bias is a psychological framework, because it's Friday philosophies, that describes the human tendency to prefer action over inaction in like almost any situation. We prefer to be doing as opposed to be thinking. And that includes situations where making a choice or getting into action is actually not the best move. In fact, is probably the opposite of what we should be doing. And the reason that we do that is because taking action can provide some sense of control and reduce feelings of anxiety or uncertainty, because we're just moving, right? We're like doing something, and that feels better than doing nothing, even in the situations where the best thing we possibly could do is just like chill out for a second. So as I give you that framework, anything spark in your mind of like, feels familiar, sounds familiar?
We're little control freaks. To hear that, it's like, oh, by nature, we are all control freaks. I've seen a lot of memes, especially like the WikiHow one, that's like how to deal with like existential dread. And it's like, find a meaningless task that has nothing to do with anything and just do it. And then you'll forget about the existential dread.
I just love the idea that there's a WikiHow for just dealing with like existential ennui, like dealing with the human condition. How do I do it?
Yeah, it's like mop the floor. That's
literally take up making bread or sewing or knitting. Yeah. I know I do this in my day-to-day life because I live in LA and I hate driving. Like with every fiber of my being, I hate sitting in traffic. So I will take side streets. Like even if it takes me three times the amount of time, length of time to get to a place, I can take side streets instead of being stuck in bumper to bumper traffic on the freeway where I feel like I'm not moving. I will always make that choice. That is so dumb. And it is so action biased, where it's like, as long as I'm moving, I feel better. And
yeah,
you know,
if the car stops, I have to be alone with my thoughts and then I'm going to die.
Exactly. I'm like taking unprotected left turns into onto like Pico. Like I'm doing, as long as I don't have to get on the 5, I'm fine.
You are participating in Grand Theft Auto. You just didn't know.
Exactly. That's me with the whole sound. Honestly, the soundtrack to Grand Theft Auto is like kind of amazing.
Yeah. It doesn't help if you're trying to drive more respectful or better. like if you're trying to be a better driver.
No.
But if you're trying to be a worse driver, pedal to the metal. That's
if you like to flirt with danger, then that is definitely a great soundtrack to listen to. Yeah. Have you ever like been waiting for news and just felt like you had to go out and do something? Like you just had to get into action?
All the time. I feel like, you know, who among us isn't a little bit of like a control freak, or feeling like, especially with like personal illness or loved one's illness, feeling like I can fix it. Like if I just become a doctor in the next 2 hours, I can fix it. And it's like a delusion that I've been struggling with a lot, especially taking care of like a mentally unwell family member, being like, just give me your bank login. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do all, like, we're going to get you a high yield savings account. It's going to be fine. And I have to like put my ass in therapy and be like, okay, maybe not. Maybe that is a delusion that you think you can fix it. That emotional reality is so hard. So I think maybe action bias is a little bit like lizard brain, where you're like, I'm a beaver. I just got to make the dam. That's my one, my one job.
Totally. Yeah. It's like, I so relate to the illness thing where something is like completely out of your control. There's nothing you can do. You're also like totally out of your depth because I didn't go to medical school. I'm not a woman in STEM. And yet I'm like, I'm sure if I WebMD this for a good 3 hours, I will find the answer that we are both looking for, that we've all been looking for the last whatever many years.
If you give me a JSTOR login and a dream, I will make this happen.
That's when I'm really like, I can't give myself that, because that would be actually be very dangerous. That would be detrimental for my health and the health of everyone around me.
We would never see you again. No. You'd be like, it's so cute that you guys want me to answer emails, but I actually have to read this article about monkeys.
I'm actually reading this meta-analysis, so back off. Yeah. Also, like, if I fix this area of whatever, my life or someone else's life, then that will somehow tidy up this other area that's, like, totally chaotic. Like, the health to, like, you know, high yield savings account. What is the connection there? Or for me, it's always like, suddenly my kitchen is immaculate. Every corner has been scrubbed. And it's like, why? Why did that happen? That's not
what did that do?
Helping anything here. But you did just spend a lot of time doing it. So
absolutely. And it feels good in the moment. But then sometimes you can be like, oh, actually, maybe I shouldn't have done that. I think a lot about that and like, actually processing what's happening to you instead of like not. And I don't report back if you have a degree in anything that's relevant, because I don't. But like, are we able to process the emotions through those little tasks, or are they putting off the little tasks? That's for probably a licensed clinical social worker.
It probably depends too, right? Like,
yeah,
it's not always helpful to just sit and process. Sometimes disassociating is what you need to do to survive. And it's a coping mechanism, and that's okay. You know, it's only when our coping mechanisms get unhealthy that we need to maybe like pull back from the intense cleaning or the amateur eye banker situation, you know?
Yeah. Or buying niche Furbies online, or at least researching them for hours, you know? Getting really into Neopets.
yeah, exactly. Keeping all the Neopets alive. That's definitely got some sort of connection.
You just give them a potion.
It's so easy.
Put them in a hotel and you can literally pay not real money for someone to just take care of them all the time.
For your Neopets forever. You're boarding them, right? Digitally
yeah,
boarding.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm boarding them locally, actually. I really want to support local business.
You're always going local. You're going small. Grassroots.
Yeah, 100%. I think global, but I act locally. And I'm the first person to ever.
You are the citizen we need. But actually, that does bring us to an interesting way that action bias can show up. So we've kind of been talking about like action bias when you're under stress, perhaps for like health reasons or something else, someone outside of you in your family or in your friend group. But we also see action bias a lot socially, because action is valorized. You know, when people jump into action, or are first responders or first movers or advocates, we tend to give them flowers and look towards them as leaders. And our culture really prizes decisiveness, you know, coming clearly standing, showing people where you stand and taking initiative. We're like, yes, you are a morally good person if you quickly, decisively take action. And I feel like we've seen a lot of effects of action bias with online activism. And we've also seen the potential repercussions of jumping to say anything really, really quickly after some sort of tragic event has happened online in the last, I guess, since like 2019. And I'm really like curious about that. And all of a sudden, action bias makes a lot more sense to me. And I'm like, right, yeah, we do. From both ends, from the person who's maybe posting something immediately after with not a ton of information, posting something loudly online, that feeling of, oh, I'm out of control. I don't know how I can help contribute to the situation. Let me do something, because that makes me feel better and immediately relieves some pressure, discomfort. And when, yeah, society says, oh yeah, this is how you sort of vote that you're a good person or show other people that you're a good person, there's like mutual benefit to that action bias. But of course, there's tons of repercussions when we haven't totally vetted and maybe haven't really thought about a more nuanced situation. But what do you think?
Absolutely. I think you can see it a lot too in like rage donations. I don't know if you've heard of that phenomena, but like of like some abortion funds that I know of, they always have like these huge spikes. And like when Roe v. Wade was overturned, obviously, like a huge bump. And it's like, this is really great. And this money helps like a lot of people. But like, what if we all just like donated once a month? Like, what if we had like a recurring situation?
Have you guys heard of Patreon?
Yeah. Have you heard of Venmoing us $15 a month, actually? So I think it's so interesting, especially with like the internet and how far we have strayed from like things happening in real life and activism happening in real life. It's interesting how people are like, okay, I donated, I shared an infographic. That's enough of that. Done. It's almost like our action bias isn't pushing us far enough in those cases.
Yeah.
But I'm also very much like a burn it all down person. I mean, like, it's everything everybody hates. You need nuance. You need to take a beat. You need to think about things. And that sucks when you just want to be instantly gratified.
Totally. It's so unsatisfying to think about things. To be Kylie Jenner realizing things is so, it's like, it's so annoying. Like, I also hate it. Like, I hate it so much. I just want there to be an easy answer all the time where I'm like, well, obviously, this is bad and this is good. Duh. And then we can all vote for that or whatever. But that ain't how it is. And I mean, I feel like, let's take action bias in online activism. Maybe it's like, oh, how bad can it really be to sort of immediately post something? How problematic can it be? Can it really cause harm? Let's extrapolate that question even more of, well, how bad is it really to sort of like jump into action? Isn't that good? Isn't that sort of like a natural human evolutionary trait? I mean, there is the argument that action bias is evolutionary and that our ancestors who were quicker to respond were the ones who survived. So even if they were a little bit anxious and overreacted, they still were the ones who, they avoided getting eaten by lions or getting in battle with some people or lighting themselves on fire, whatever action bias protected us from. So, okay, it's like a objectively maybe good evolutionary trait, maybe, but also it's like kind of a redundant way of doing things. There's an example in soccer where soccer goalkeepers, or football for our European friends, when they face penalty kicks, these researchers found that goalies were more likely to dive to the left or to the right than just staying in the center. And statistically, staying in the center increases their chances of stopping that penalty kick. So if they wanted to really do the damn thing, they should just stay in the middle. But they have a tendency to go dive, to make a big grand gesture. And the action bias here was driven by the expectation that making a dramatic save and the perception that like diving for that dramatic save, even if it was unsuccessful, would make it look more effortful. Like, oh, they really tried. They really put their whole ass out there. Too bad they couldn't do it. Despite the fact that statistical evidence says that just stand in the middle, it's fine. Like, it ain't that deep. You're probably going to save the goal more often than not if you just stand in the center. And I think there's something, I mean, like that feels so apropos even, you know, for online activism, but even like if you're a CEO or you're, I don't know, a leader of a company or a business and there's an economic downturn, a lot of times CEOs or leaders, when they tend towards action bias, will say, okay, we have to cut all of our expenses. We have to sort of like overcompensate and be on the offense instead of on the defense. And they cut too much and then they end up shooting themselves in the foot because they don't have the team that they need to keep the business going in the future. They're almost like too proactive instead of sitting and responding, waiting and responding.
100%. Especially because it's like everything's like transient like water. So there's no way to make a firm action, especially when you get into like nebulous things like corporations. Corporations aren't people. It's really hard. Like, you kind of have to see how things play out. Obviously, the goalie's different, but that's all ego, baby. How am I not going to get attention from everyone if I don't dive for it?
Right. And like, well, I want them to. There's probably like the super egoic, like David Beckham, right? Those types of like showboats, but also, I don't know, even like kids on a soccer team who just want to like want their teammates to be proud of them. I feel like that's real, you know? Like, yeah, we want the attention, but we also want people to, if we fail, we want some sort of like built-in fail safe that's like, yeah, but you tried. I know that you really tried. And like, I can't be mad at you for not doing your part. I mean, going back to sort of like having a trigger finger when it comes to posting something online, posting something really quickly as a reaction, like, it's hard to be mad at someone for wanting to do the right thing, even if they make a mistake, right? Or they're misinformed. It's like, well, I think you had the best intentions here. So action bias is, I don't know, it's like kind of tricky in that way. I don't think that people do it on purpose to like necessarily, I don't know, look good, but it's just this like innate part of us.
Yeah, that we like have to I mean, like, to your point, it's evolutionary. It's like, actually being chased by the lion is the same as the people's perception of me on Instagram. Those two, those are the same thing.
They literally, so, maybe the Instagram is worse. Maybe it's more scary.
Yeah. There's the physicality of being chased by a lion. Like, your body's like moving through it.
Totally.
Whereas on Instagram, you are just stationary, heart pounding, posting with a dream.
And at least the lion chase will end eventually. Like, Instagram is this sort of, it can be a never ending wave, wave upon wave upon wave of like somatic intensity. And even like the most educated people and responsible people fall prey to action bias. Like, doctors, for example, will often overprescribe antibiotics because the patient has some sort of virus sitting in front of them and they are prompted by the patient to get some sort of something to take home with them. Even though we all know if you have a virus, there's nothing you can do about it, right? No antibiotic is going to fix that. But the doctor will still send you home with a Z-Pak because that makes you feel like your doctor is paying attention to you and is being proactive, when in reality, they're just overprescribing. And they do know way better than you, the patient, but they feel as if they need, you know, to sort of bend a knee to action bias in order to make everyone happy, which is kind of scary, honestly. I start thinking about like all of our politicians and the things that the decisions and actions that they take. And I'm like, okay. Oh my God.
Especially because most of the time it's like action bias about the wrong thing.
Totally.
Like, also doesn't make sustainable change. Yeah. I think especially like politicians, there's some stuff that they're like, well, we just need to wait and see. I don't know. And then other things, for example, like there are people that like ride ATVs in the middle of the streets where I'm from, which I think happens in every major city. Like, that's just a thing that happens. No big deal, whatever. I don't really care as long as nobody gets hurt. But the mayor has like literally never done anything about it a day in his life. And then he was like out to dinner sitting on a patio and they rode by and he sent the chopper after them, which is crazy. Why do you need to get the helicopter up in the sky to chase down these like 18-year-olds with ATVs?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's like a Wile E. Coyote.
It's funny that.
Trying to catch the roadrunner. Like, that's what was happening. But I feel like that's peak political action bias, where it directly affected him and then he had to fix it in like the craziest way possible. That didn't do anything. Like, they still ride around, which is, again, who cares?
Honestly, that probably made the sickest TikTok video. Just like a bunch of kids on ATVs like filming over their shoulder. They're like, yeah, helicopter's chasing us. What are they gonna do? Like, what are they gonna do? Land in front of us on this like, I don't know, neighborhood street, residential street?
Exactly. They're going to take down all the trees in the surrounding area. Like, truly made them look cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, action bias often has this unintended side effect where it's like, oh, it does the opposite of what we're actually really trying to do here. And yeah, it happens to all of us. And I think that I know I personally deal with action bias all the time. But KP, I would be curious. I will reveal myself in a moment. But KP, I'd be curious for you. Is there a time where action bias shows up for you, maybe like in work?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, it's so hard working in social media when like the world is on fire, because it's like, am I really going to like post buy our strawberries? I don't post that for anybody, but.
Right. Well, yeah, you work with companies that are socially progressive, I would say, and that do take a strong stance on a lot of what's happening politically in the world, and also are not political institutions or 501c3s. I'm making some big, I don't know the whole roster of your clients, but.
Correct. I would say most of them are, yes, that's true.
So it's kind of like, yeah, do you, obviously, like, our politics shape the way that we show up and the philosophy of like how we run our businesses, but also how do you keep up with all of it?
Yeah. And when do you make the decision to say something and when do you make the decision to not? I mean, that's like probably like in terms of like professionally working in social media, at least personally, it's like the biggest question of our time. And I'm lucky that I work for a lot of people that I'm just able to be like, what are your thoughts on this? That makes it a little bit easier. But if you work for people who are very far removed or don't really care, or maybe have some controversial opinions, obviously it's like a completely different ballgame. But I guess I just gave you an example of how action bias does not show up, where instead we're like, we'll wait and see. But my gut reaction is always, because I'm totally guilty of spreading misinformation via the Instagram infographic.
Same. I just posted something about, what happened in that horrible, there's a horrible child death in Oklahoma. And I posted something and now all this other information is coming out. And I'm like, well, it's still horrible. It's a horrible tragedy that a child died, regardless of however it happened. But like, yeah.
That's the type of thing that it's like you always want to be like, yes, I am against child death.
Right. Exactly.
It is cuckoo bananas that we live in a society that like not saying that is saying something.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Exactly. Like, of course. I don't believe that we should be killing thousands of innocent children and people. Like, of course. Obviously, that's a given. And yeah, when do you say it? When do you have to publicly say it all the time? That's hard.
Yeah. It is such a tightrope. And like anything, like it requires nuance. One of the slogans of my favorite podcast is bitches hate nuance. It's not to jack their phrase, but bitches hate nuance.
It's true. I mean, like, it's just not satisfying, you know, having a nuanced perspective. And I mean, now we're getting into like media literacy. And usually when something feels cut and dry, it's not. It's that we don't have all the information and whoever's reporting it to us is not giving us all the information. And it's unfortunately never that satisfying.
No.
Rarely that satisfying.
And like, especially when you have a brain that thinks non-linearly, I know I am definitely a little guilty of the black and white where I'm like, well, this is objectively correct and this is objectively wrong. And yep. That doesn't really apply to like things outside of how I wash my towels. I can control that, but I can't apply that thinking to, I don't know, Ukraine and Russia or something.
Yep.
Even though that does feel a little black and white. Actually, now that I say it, I was trying to think of like a good example. I can't apply that thinking to like a politician who has done a lot of good for certain movements and harmed other movements.
Yeah. It's even honestly black and white thinking when it comes to my towels is not always right. I have some asterisks. If the towels are this, then that, you know, it's not always the same. Just rinse, wash, repeat, unfortunately. And Action bias, I think for me, shows up. There's a difference between like anxious action and aligned action. And anxious action is that like, I got to do this right now. I got to like, I have this energy inside of me that needs to be like literally exercised versus what's the like most clear straight shot when I think for a second and I line up the sort of pinball, where do I want my action to go versus like letting my energy pinball all around. And the aligned action is annoying because it usually takes me a long time where I have an idea and then I have to really sit on that idea or whatever I'm like struggling with for a while. And I notice for myself as a creative entrepreneur and what I see a lot with our clients and with our students is we might mistake planning and scheming for aligned action. Like, oh, I have all this anxiety about making money. So I'm going to spend the next 2 days like scheming my entire year and how I'm going to make all these products. When really that's just anxious action because it's sort of like spinning the wheels up. Or even what I hear a lot is I'm going to set up a Notion and it's going to save my life. It's going to change my life. It's going to fix my life. And I'm going to feel incredible afterwards. And this is the only problem that I have is that I just don't have a Notion system. I mean, Notion will definitely help, but
yeah, Notion cannot fix.
Can't fix your whole life. Downloading some $100 template over a weekend and installing it while it will feel good in the moment for sure is not going to give you the same long-term results as like going deeper on why is it that I feel like bunch of hamsters inside of a human body all the time. And I just like can't make any of this work. And I feel like I'm dying, but I'm also really stressed out. That's because there's some deeper thing that needs to be addressed. And the action really doesn't really look like action from the outside there. It's more an excavation, an internal excavation. And it can feel very slow in the beginning, but then it's like you see this exponential movement.
You have to have time to chew on things. Or like I just launch my own business after being freelance for a year and freelancing for several years, but being full-time freelance for a year.
Jupiter Content Co. Are you taking clients?
I am.
Okay.
I got some space for Q2. Will I ever be able to promote my business without going into like an affected voice? I don't know. To be determined. But it's jupitercontent.co or at jupitercontentco on Instagram. It just kind of seems like all of a sudden I had a business, I'm sure to other people, but I like really labored at least in my mind, for a year being like, do I want to turn myself into an entity? Is this going to be too close to girl bossing for me? How do I feel about like the capitalism element of it?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it became very clear to me and I was able to be like, hire a designer, like get a website going. Like, I was able to make those decisions very quickly because I had spent a year being like.
And you really did so much. I got to witness some of your work on Jupiter and like, you really did excavate and answer your own questions, you know, dig into who your client was. Like, your copy has changed a lot even since you sent me the draft, which I know wasn't your first draft. Like, it's just so clear. It's obvious that you've thought this through and it's so well considered. And I mean, I'm like, don't get too many clients because I still need you.
You can pry spaces and holisticism from my cold, dead hand. I'm going to be answering DMs from the afterlife.
But no, it's like so obviously considered. And I think that's such a great example of, yeah, it might seem like you in a, I don't know, fit of action in 3 weeks got a website together and got a logo and worked with a designer. But really that had been brewing for a really long time. And now it's like up and running and it has felt so seamless, at least from the outside. And you've done an amazing job.
Thank you. It's a good feeling to be like, no, I actually sat on this and thought about it.
Yeah.
Because I've been totally guilty of being like, okay, and this is my decision and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then rushing into it. I feel like that's true as well with Spaces, that when you said like you had been like thinking about it for years and then we finally kind of were like, oh, and now it's just happening.
That's not always my MO, TBH. Like, a lot of the time,
you
I'm
did
like,
just write an ebook.
Yeah, that's what those two good examples of like, I was like, you know what? I think it'd be cool if I like wrote a little ditty, like a little tiny ebook. And then many, many pages later, I was like, okay, I accidentally wrote 17,000 words and we put it up. Oh, by the way, we've sold like 100 and I only email out to like 600 people. So we have a very high conversion rate on that product right now, which is pretty cool. Everyone, you can get it at the link in our notes below, the New Age Playbook for Spellbinding Can't Stop Reading Copy. It's only $29 for now. It's great. People are loving it so far. But yeah, like that was I want to make this thing. Let's do it. And Spaces has been just like brewing in the background for such a long time. I feel like we did so much work on like the lore of Spaces and the concept of it. I mean, we still have I don't think people even realize that we have like products coming. I think they're just like, yeah. What is this weird newsletter? But like, cool. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, cute. New stuff. That's so cute. Yeah. And it's like, you don't even know. You don't even know.
You have no idea. You think you know. Yeah. So I think, I mean, action bias. It's a real fun one. It's one that I think about a lot. Like, oh yeah, sometimes it's better not to move or it's better to be still for a second. So should we do some segments boots for?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. What's the one weird thing about this philosophy or tactic, action bias? What do you think?
That it can both like hurt and help you depending on the situation.
I think that's
right. But ain't that anything?
That's true. Listen. Nuance. Okay. Do you think that this is a coffee or a matcha? I feel like I know the answer here.
Coffee.
It's like a red eye. It's like coffee. Yes. It's like, honestly, it's like a coffee enema. It's like coffee up your butthole. Like
literally, like when people, Starbucks employees would like post like, this person ordered this thing and it was like, that would send me to the hospital. That's what this is.
Exactly. Totally. Is this a morning glory or a night owl?
I lean towards morning glory, but this could also be like a 5 p.m. You are presented with a problem and all of a sudden it's 4 a.m. and you've just been like,
I kind of feel like it's that. I mean, for me, that's how it shows up, except it's more like it's 10 o'clock and I'm laying in bed and I'm like, wait, I need to make a dentist appointment. And then all of a sudden I am looking up dentists that will put me under to brush my teeth because I'm so scared of the dentist and it is 4 a.m.
Yeah, it's a watershed.
Okay, where does this philosophy, action bias, fall on the V to P scale, which is the Virgo to Pisces scale?
I mean, it's full Virgo, but I wonder, I'm like, it feels a little Capricorn-y.
Oh, interesting.
But it also feels a little Aries.
I was going to say a little Aries, a little maybe Sagittarian, because it's just like, we're thoughts, just actions. And I love my Aries Sagittarius too, friends.
Because they're baby. The reaction time of just like getting information and immediately reacting to it in a way is probably Aries. But I always think of like control freaks. Sometimes Virgos can be control freaks.
Ah, mm-hmm. Well, as a Pisces, I feel like I also can be a control freak.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Listen, anything I've said today is true about me. So I'm not throwing any stones in glass houses.
Okay. And then the final question is, would you be an acolyte of action bias? Meaning, would you, you know, if you could join the cult of action bias, would you?
Lean towards no. But if I were to get a pike through the skull and lose my like frontal lobe situation, then I might become an action bias acolyte. There we go.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. I think that I probably was an action bias acolyte when I was younger because I'd rather, you know, like, I do think that you kind of need naivete to, and honestly, stupidity to be like, yeah, just like, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's just do the thing without thinking. And that does work for you in some situations, like, especially if you're, I don't know, you believe in yourself and you're like, well, I'll be able to figure anything out eventually. So like, that's going to be okay. But yeah, I think in my older age, I'm like, I'm a little too tired to be an action bias acolyte.
Yeah, because then too, if something goes awry, you then have to like fix the things, whereas so which you're capable of doing when you're like 22.
Yeah.
But when you need, like, you're on a consistent sleep schedule, you can't just be like, okay, I'm going to make this big mistake and then immediately have to clean up the pieces. You instead are like, let me just take a beat.
22-year-old me would be like literally throwing up in the corner right now if she could hear this conversation. She'd be like, oh my God, you're so lame. I can't believe that you're thinking now. Ooh. Who are we? Well, those are our Friday Philosophy segments, Boots, for action bias. So on the whole, I feel like we're grateful that action bias exists. Thanks for maybe helping us all be alive and be here now. But also, we have to just watch it. Just like most of these mental models, right? Like once you know it exists, you're like, okay, cool. Am I compelled to act because of action bias? Because I'm like trying to control the situation, or I feel like things are chaotic, or I want people to think I look good or whatever? Or am I ready to get into action because I fully and truly know that this is what I want to do and I'm ready to do it?
Yeah, you have all the information. Like, are you raising your hand on a plane when they ask if there's a doctor because you took a CPR certified course once, or are you actually a doctor?
Like, yeah. Or you like, I don't know, I did Reiki.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to heal the choking.
I took a 4-hour Reiki weekend course one time. I'm good.
Yeah, let's figure this out.
Well, KP, thank you so much for your wise thoughts here, your contributions to this conversation. Any final words on action bias before we bid each other adieu?
Don't action bias alone. You can always check in with a friend. Say, hey, I think I'm going to do this thing. But it has to be your most anchored friend, not your most delusional one. Or if you need someone to gas you up, ask your most delusional friend.
Like maybe a group text. This is a group text conversation.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
You could have some like good cop, bad cop, or all cops are bad. But like you could have some, you know, the angel on your shoulder and the devil on your shoulder. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, KP. How can people find you? How can people hire you? Not full time, but work with you.
Don't worry. Jupiter Content Co. Jupiter like the planet, Content Co. on Instagram, and then it's jupitercontent.co.
Amazing.
If you're looking for me. Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
You are incredible, show-stopping, stunning, always a pleasure and a delight. And thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
The 12th House is produced by the Holisticism team, with theme music by Nathan McKay and edited by the incredible Softer Sound Studio, who you can find more information about in our show notes. Thanks for listening.